Part 1, Chapter 6, Gateway. While the eye sees at the surface, the ear tends to penetrate below the surface. Joachim Ernst Behrendt points out that the ear is the only sense that fuses an ability to measure with an ability to judge. We can discern different colors, but we can give a precise number to different sounds. Our eyes do not let us perceive with this kind of precision. An unmusical person can recognize an octave and, perhaps once instructed, a quality of tone that is a C or an F sharp. Behrendt points out that there are few acoustical illusions, something sounding like something that in fact it is not, while there are many optical illusions. The ears do not lie. The sense of hearing gives us a remarkable connection with the invisible, underlying order of things. Through our ears, we gain access to vibration, which underlies everything around us. The sense of tone and music in another's voice gives us an enormous amount of information about that person, about her stance toward life, about her intentions. Exercise 1. The agony of waiting on the day of the race is almost unbearable. It is so intense that I used to say to myself, "Why do I put myself through this? I don't want ever to do it again." Yet in the subsequent high spirits of winning, the agony of the period of waiting beforehand is forgotten. For some athletes, this tension was too great. Lennart Strand, part of the Swedish mile record-breaking team, eventually found the strain of races more than he could bear. After helping Arne Andersen and Gunder Hag to their records, he was forced to retire and became a concert pianist, which he found much less stressful. Exercise 2. Some risks can be transferred to another company or even to the consumer. A park wanting to host a fireworks display may contract with another company to be responsible for the show. In this way, the park is transferring liability to the fireworks company. One method of transferring the risk to the fans is the inclusion of a statement on the back of the event ticket saying that the promoter is not responsible for any harm to the ticket holder. By accepting the ticket, the attendee agrees to accept liability for possible risks. However, neither of these examples of transferring risk relieves the facility or event management from providing a reasonably safe environment. Exercise 3. People are social beings. We appreciate the company of our own kind. How physically close we tolerate or enjoy the presence of others, for how long, and under what conditions, vary noticeably from culture to culture. In a sparsely settled part of the world, the Kalahari Desert, the Kung Bushmen live under crowded conditions. In a Bushman camp, the average space each person has is only 188 square feet, which is far less than the 350 square feet per person regarded as the desirable standard by the American Public Health Association. Space in a Bushman camp is arranged to ensure maximum contact. Typically, huts are so close that people sitting at different hearths can hand items back and forth without getting up. The desert does not lack space. Bushmen live close by choice, and they do not show symptoms of biological stress. Exercise 4. Studies have shown that as anger increases, cognitive processing speed goes down, fine motor coordination and sensitivity to pain decrease, and muscle strength often increases. So for some athletes doing some tasks, anger can be helpful. For example, the defensive lineman who must make his way past a blocker to make a tackle might benefit from having some level of anger. For other tasks, anger would be a hindrance. The quarterback who needs to read the defense before deciding which receiver to throw to would likely perform better if he were not angry. In fact, some research supports this thesis. Players at football positions that require a lot of decision-making tend to demonstrate lower levels of anger than players at positions that do not. Exercise 5. Why do so many people dislike public speaking? Perhaps the biggest fear is exposure. Standing up in front of a large group of people, with 100 or more pairs of eyeballs all staring in our direction, can be very intimidating. There is also the risk of losing face or making complete idiots of ourselves in a public forum. Sir George Jessel, a famous public speaker, once said, "The human brain starts working the moment you are born and never stops until you stand up to speak in public." But it's also important to emphasize that few people experience no anxiety when performing in public, and this includes the greatest actors and political leaders. Winston Churchill, for example, had to overcome his fear of public speaking to become one of the greatest speakers of the 20th century. Exercise 6. Taking steps to keep others connected with the rational part of their brain, even in intense conflict situations, helps minimize the impact of behaviors acted out in anger. A key step is to re-enter the conversation under the tone of the other person. Imagine you're having a conversation with someone, and you or your conversational partner is whispering, and the other person is shouting. It is clear that the shouter is having by far the more uncomfortable experience. Individuals do not usually sustain shouting for very long if the other party does not reciprocate the intensity or loudness of voice. So keep your volume down and your voice even, and others will start to reciprocate. Exercise 7. In many industries within the service economy, competition stays very intense. This factor, when combined with the pressure from investors for higher returns on capital, has resulted in pressure to increase productivity and reduce costs. In many cases, managers seek to reduce labor costs by running leaner operations or using technology to replace humans for some tasks. An example of this was when several domestic airlines encouraged passengers to check in via the internet, thereby reducing the number of passengers who wanted to check in at the airport. They offered an incentive of 1,000 extra frequent flyer miles to any passenger who used this service. Later, they added fees for customers that accessed their services in person, but offered the services for no cost if customers used the internet or non-face-to-face engagement. Exercise 8. In discussing coffee varieties, it should be kept in mind that nearly all the coffee in the New World is descended from just a few beans and two varieties, Typica and Bourbon. This extremely narrow genetic base has been crossed within itself and with a very few other varieties. Almost no additions have come from the hundreds, perhaps thousands, of varieties existing in coffee's original home, Ethiopia. Since New World coffee has been more or less the same for the past 200 years, the only factors affecting quality have been cultural and climatic. Not much else was possible. In turn, this led to very subtle differences in taste and to the appearance of very fine-tuned cups of coffee. Few can tell the difference between a Jamaican Blue and a Kona coffee.